Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for gathering us to worship you. We ask that you would now send your Spirit to come, to convict us of sin, and to lead us into righteousness that is found in your Son, Jesus Christ, alone. Be with us as we study your word now, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Let me see. Well, we have already looked at Psalm 130 this year. As we've been going through the Psalms, I've been sticking with what our order of service gives for the Psalms for the day. And though we've already covered 130, I wanted to draw attention to the final verses. It says these words, "O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plenteous redemption. He will redeem Israel from all his iniquities." The psalmist, in writing these words, could have been reflecting on our reading from Genesis today. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love. And in with him is plenteous redemption. He will redeem Israel from all its iniquities. This promise, this hope that the psalmist has, comes from the faithfulness that the psalmist has found in the Lord. So this morning, we are going to look at Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 21. And look at how from this we can be filled with hope. How we can know of our redemption. And know of the plenteous love of the Lord. I thought this morning that I was actually going to maybe make a little outfit out of fig leaves and wear it up here for y'all. Yeah, just for that, actually. And then I thought to myself, the fig leaves in my yard aren't quite big enough to cover all of me, and I didn't have enough of them, so I thought I should just wear my pretty dress instead. You're welcome. So, chapter 3 of Genesis comes right after creation. It comes after the Lord has established the relationship between man and woman. And now they are living in the garden. They are having dominion over God's creation. They are in fellowship with him, in perfect union with him, walking with him in the cool of the day. They know a nearness to God. He is tangible. He is present with them. This would have been a sweet time for Adam and Eve. But the serpent comes. We've heard this story. The serpent comes, he's crafty, and he tempts them and says, you know, you can't eat from any tree, right? Trying to doubt God's goodness to his people. And Eve responds halfway correct by saying, no, he just says of this one tree we cannot eat. But then she adds, nor should we touch it. So she's beginning to doubt and misconstrue in her head what the Lord is saying to her. Eve eats with Adam present from this tree. We don't know what type of fruit it was. People have said an apple. I think it was probably maybe a kiwi. It's besides the point as to what type of fruit it was, but it was a fruit, and they ate, and it was delicious. And so they ate this fruit, both of them, and they recognized that things weren't right. And they found themselves naked. And so they tried to cover up their nakedness by making their own garments of fig leaves, which, as we know, will wither and crumble away. You and I may not be tempted by a kiwi. It may not be the thing on our list. But you and I have been in the situation of Adam and Eve. We'll just say, you've got a juicy piece of gossip, and you know that somebody has come to you in confidentiality to tell you something that they are struggling with or that's on their heart. And a friend of yours comes up and they know that your friend is struggling as well. And they say, oh, just tell me. You know it. Tell me all about it. The temptation is before you. And you think, no, I shouldn't do that. But then you think of Romans and you go, he does say that his grace is sufficient. Sin that his grace may abound all the more. Maybe I should just keep on sinning to get more grace. And you begin to justify why you are going to gossip. Why you're going to share this bit of information with someone when you know you shouldn't. When you know it could cause harm to that person. Trust will be broken. But yet, you continue because the temptation is so great. This same thing plays out in your life, not just with gossip. It happens when you're with friends and they are saying, one more drink, it's okay. And you know that you can't drink, or else it goes into a downward spiral. This same sort of justification happens when we begin to lust after others or after possessions. We begin to try to justify ourselves and say, well, God loves us, right? He still is going to love me no matter what, so I can just keep going in it and ask for forgiveness later. Well, Adam and Eve are tempted. They sin, and there is punishment. There's punishment for their disobeying God, whom they get to walk with, who they know intimately, and yet they still disobey. And here is the punishment. Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock, serpent. On your belly you shall go, and the dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. This is not good. One who used to have legs and could crawl around now has to go on his belly and eat dust. And there's going to be fighting between him and man. We'll get back to that one. Next, for the woman, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Ladies, I'm sorry. We did bring this upon ourselves. I am grateful that we have children. I am sorry for the pain it brings. Ladies, I know that you wish to have authority over your husbands, and I'm sorry that he rules over you. Paul has something to say about it. In fact, we discussed this in our Sunday school class today about the fact that later on we actually see the fact that we are called as husbands to love our wives as Christ loved the church, giving up ourselves. And wives are called to submit to their husbands. Because their husbands are willing to die for them. Not for any old reason. And there should be a partnership in this. This is the way it was meant to be before the fall. A partnership. But the desire to rule and be over one another will be there. And we must fight against it. Because it's not meant to be that way. We're meant to be in partnership. Ruling and subduing the earth. We'll continue. And Adam, oh Adam, because you didn't speak up and you too ate, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. So Adam, our dear friend Adam, goes through the pain that you and I go through every day we have to go to work. There's some parts of our work that we love, and then there's a lot that is just plain miserable. The pain and the toil and the suffering, the thorns and the thistles and the struggles. If you have gone to work and never found it to be frustrating, I would like to know your profession. Nobody found that funny. Okay. Also to Adam comes death. That no longer will he be able to live forever on this earth. But rather, he was made from dust, and to dust he shall return. Now, in this, I told you at the beginning that, O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plenteous redemption. He will redeem Israel for all his iniquities. It doesn't so far seem that Genesis chapter 3 has much love, has much hope, or has much redemption. There are three places in which I would like to show you hope, love, and redemption as we go back. I told you we return to chapter 3, verse 15. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Many of you have probably heard that this passage points forward to the coming of Christ. That Christ will come. He will be mocked, beaten, laughed at, spit upon, hung upon a cross. He will die. He will be bruised. Yet this offspring of Eve, God himself in the flesh, Jesus Christ, will crush Satan's head. He does so as he defeats death in the grave and rises to new life. See, this promise that comes in Genesis chapter 3 is that one will come and crush and defeat Satan. And Christ comes. He fulfills the promise here. He comes to bring redemption for you and me. He comes to show us of his great love by giving up of himself, that you and I might have everlasting life, that we might defeat death in the grave ourselves. The second way that this passage points us to the fact that God will redeem us and fill us with hope is the very end of our passage for this morning. It says, the man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skin and clothed them. We see that God provides garments for his children. They have sinned. And they have tried to cover up their own nakedness, their brokenness, with their own fig leaves, which are not sufficient. You and I do this all the time. We have sinned, and therefore we try to cover it up. Some of it is literally covering it up, not wanting anyone to know what is happening. But we know that God knows, and so we try to cover it up by doing good deeds, by trying to say, look at all the things I've done. Am I not good enough? Have I not said all the right things? I know I've messed up from time to time. But wasn't I sweet to those old ladies when I held the door open all those times before, Lord? We try to cover up our own brokenness with our own self-righteousness. And it's not sufficient. Just as these fig leaves were not sufficient. But rather, because of our sin, death must enter. And God provides for Adam and Eve garments. The first death is done by God himself as he kills an animal and makes garments for Adam and Eve to wear, to cover them. The Lord does the same thing in giving up of his son. The lamb is slain and you and I are covered by the blood of the Lamb. No longer are we standing in our own righteousness, but in His righteousness. And He is sufficient. His work upon the cross is enough to bring you and me from death into eternal life. This is how much He loves us, by giving up of Himself. He is our hope. He is our Redeemer. The final way which we see this is actually from a little bit further in Genesis 3. Chapter 3, verse 22. Then the Lord said, "Behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. Now let us reach out, lest he reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever." Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. He drove the man out at the east of the garden, out of Eden, and he placed the cherubim and the flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. This may not seem like a great thing to get kicked out of the garden, to be forced not to eat from the tree of life, that promise that you and I will die, that he tells Adam, tells him, "Till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. You are dust, and to dust you shall return." This sounds awful. In fact, it's one of the greatest fears that we have is death. We don't like the idea of our mortal lives being over. But this is one of the promises of hope and love and redemption. You and I live in a broken world that is filled with pain, sorrow, and suffering, and loss, and tragedy. Just look at the news. In the past week, we've got two famous people committing suicide because of the surroundings around them. Suicide has increased by 30% since 1990 in the United States. The world around us is not pretty. It is broken. People hate other people. Crimes are committed. And the Lord saw this coming. So he made it possible that you and I would not have to suffer here forever. If he had not guarded the tree of life, Adam and Eve would have eaten and lived forever in a broken world. But rather, he guards the tree of life. And Adam and Eve, though they live a mighty long time, they die. And when they die, they get to go and be back with their Creator, the one who they walked in the garden with, the one who knew them intimately, the one who loved them and cared for them. So while death may seem like something to be feared, it is an entrance into a new life with our Savior. It is an entrance into life with God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He wants to take us out of the pain and suffering and bring us into this new life with Him that we will enjoy for all eternity. So as our psalmist says, "Hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with Him is plenteous redemption. He will redeem Israel from all his iniquities." You and I have sinned, and we need redemption, and the Lord is sufficient. He makes a promise in Genesis that He keeps in the sending of His Son, who willingly lays down His life for you and for me, in order that our sins may be forgiven, that we may know His love, and that we may hope in life everlasting that begins now and will come to its fullness when we pass from life to death and new life in Him. May we turn to the Lord and find in Him our hope and life everlasting. Amen.